Hey, movie lovers, I'm Sam.
And I'm Maria.
Welcome to Unsolicited Flick Picks.
Movie reviews no one asked for.
Ooh, we switched it up. Ah. Hey.
You go first. Okay, before we go, get going. Happy birthday party day.
Thanks. I'm so excited.
I just wanted to wish you that because we're having a party today.
Yeah.
This is the best pregame.
The best. So in honor of my 30th birthday, we are going to not be so negative and talk about a bad movie. We're going to talk about my favorite movie.
Ah, a treat for you and me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to share my favorite movie with Maria.
Oh, you guys, it was so good.
So the movie we're talking about this week is Rocket Man, which is a biopic of the legendary Elton John.
Rocket Man came out in the spring of 2019, and Elton John had a huge part in the actual making of this movie. This is a little fact from Sam, but I'm going to read it. The producers wanted this movie to be PG-13, but Elton stated he did not live a PG-13 life.
So it was rated R. A lot of drugs and a lot of gay sex.
It was rated 7.3 on IMDb and 89% on Rotten Tomatoes with an 88% score from the audience. So pretty good.
Yeah. It won an Oscar for Best Original Song. The song was I'm Gonna Love Me Again, which features Elton and the star of this movie, Taron Egerton.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they both sing together. And Taron also received the Golden Globe for his performance in the movie. And the movie also won Best Original Song at the Golden Globes as well.
Oh, awesome.
I'm going to tell this story, but I don't know if it's going to go in the podcast or not. Maybe okay. You can give me some advice legally if this is something that I would be allowed to say. So I tell this story and anyone who's heard it already rolls their eyes when I begin to tell it. But I like to say that Elton John and I were roommates. We weren't.
No.
But we did live under the same roof for a time.
What?
I worked at Redacted Hotel in Toronto for a short period of time. And I got to stay in the hotel as I was working. I was just like a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And while I was living there in the hotel, Elton was doing his 56th farewell tour. And so he was kind of touring around North America. And when he's kind of in the area, he has a penthouse in this hotel.
Oh, go away.
So he was living there while I was living there.
You were totally roommates.
Totally roomies. But even further than that, his whole crew was there as well. So every single day, these three guys came in. One of them was his tour manager. One was his tennis partner. And the other was his personal trainer. Who I will, maybe I'll, if we decide to keep this in, I'll maybe tag him. I just need people to see his Instagram because this is the most fit person I've ever seen in my whole life. It was terrifying.
Oh my gosh. So you get to see Elton John?
I didn't get to see him, but some of the people that worked in room service.
Yeah.
Because he was there. I was there during Canadian Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And they brought him up food and stuff
his
there.
His turkey dinner.
Yeah.
It's funny. I remember you being there and I could be making this up, but I kind of remember there being a VIP guest, but you never did tell us who it was. You were really good when you were employed by them. So I feel like legally you're well within your rights to share this story. And for the record, you did not disclose it when you were working there.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I remember there being that.
And he had a code name. I won't say his code name because just in case he uses that other places that he lives too.
Reginald Dwight.
Super fans would know that that is Elton John's real name. Like me. No, he had a code name and it was super cute. From all accounts, he was like nice. I've heard some of the people that I worked with say that like they ran into David and their two kids and that he was David's like really, really sweet. So, but like I got to know those three guys that I said.
That's
like
so cool.
They ate at the restaurant like at least two meals a day.
No way.
So we were kind of on friendly terms.
Chummy.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
I'm 1 degree away from Elton John.
Yeah. I mean, you were roommates. So yeah. Whatever that makes
Same
you.
Same roof. I'm sure his digs were probably way better than mine. He had the penthouse.
Totally.
And I was just in a standard room. Totally. But it was a gorgeous hotel. 5-star hotel. So great. So this is my favorite movie. It is my emotional support movie. Watched it good times and bad. I forced my husband to watch it and then yelled at him when he momentarily glanced at his phone. I got mad at him that he didn't like it as much as I did because I'm obsessed with it. And I specifically remember this was a movie I watched probably 3 times that week when in the fall of 2019, I was diagnosed with Bell's palsy. So I literally had one eye taped shut and I was on like a lot of medication, like serious medication that made me so depressed. And I watched this movie like 3 times. It was like my favorite.
What a good pick me up.
Yeah.
But it's also, okay, I didn't know that, but that makes so much sense. It's such an emotionally powerful movie. And Elton John's story like is incredible for one. And I didn't know much about it before I watched this. I always, always loved Elton John and his music. But this movie confirmed that like 1,000,000%.
Exactly. All right, let's get into the plot. So we open with Elton dramatically stomping down a hallway in a suit of sequins, rhinestones, feathers, platform boots. It's amazing. It's very dramatic. And in the background, an instrumental version of Yellow Brick Road is playing. And so he bursts through the door of a group therapy rehab session and he starts telling his story.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, this is his way of telling his story.
Yeah, almost in like an AA circle.
Yeah.
That whole scene is so shiny. It's so beautiful.
Such a way to open up.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So he starts off by telling the group that he's an alcoholic, a cocaine addict, a sex addict, a bulimic, a shopaholic with problems with weed, prescription drugs, and anger issues. So he's got quite the laundry list of woes.
Yeah, basically an addict of all things.
Yeah. So he starts off by talking about his childhood and first song is The Bitch Is Back. It's a good song. It's not my favorite. It's mostly a child singing, and that always kind of creeps me out. The kid who plays young Elton is super cute, and it's like a dead ringer for young Elton, but I don't like children singing. It reminds me of like a horror movie.
Oh.
Like Nightmare on Elm Street.
Never saw
when they're singing. Yeah, it's just me.
It is a certain vibe for sure.
Yeah.
The Bitch Is Back. It's funny because he's like basically singing about his bitch parents, his bitch mom, his bitch dad. His grandma's all right. But
yeah.
So yeah, we do meet his family there in this scene. And I was a bit confused here because they're calling him Reggie, which I now realize was his name before he changed it to Elton John. But I was like, is this little Elton?
Yeah. There's no more British name than Reginald Dwight.
I can see why he changed
it. It's very British.
Yeah.
So like you said, yeah, his parents suck. His bitch mom is played by Bryce Dallas Howard, who's amazing.
Oh, she's beautiful.
Amazing. She does such a great villain. She's usually not a villain, I think, which is why I liked seeing her like that. His dad is like in and out. He eventually leaves and starts a new family after he caught the mom cheating.
Oh, yeah.
They had just a really, like, bad relationship.
Yeah. And there's that classic, like, child watching their dad leave at night from the bedroom window upstairs scene. It's really sad.
Yeah. And the dad kind of just, he does have a really big interest in music, but he's just like an asshole about it.
Yeah.
He doesn't show any sort of affection, doesn't relate to his son, who also is starting to show an interest in music. He's kind of just one of those weird dads that's like super weird about his son showing any interest in anything remotely feminine.
And so, yeah, so unhealthy.
Dads can just cut that out. Yeah. Right now.
Okay, so Reggie, as it turns out, is a literal music prodigy. He can replay music by ear, and he gets accepted into this like Royal College of Music or something. And his first class, I guess, with the teacher, he goes into this beautiful like church-like auditorium or something, and she's playing some like classical piano song, and he
just replays it by listening.
Yeah, it's so cute. She's like, "You didn't bring anything to play?" And because he didn't bring any music with him, and she says, "Okay, then, like, show me what you can do." And he plays the song, but then stops just super abruptly. And she goes, "Why did you stop?" And he's like, "Well, that's where you stopped," because he was just replaying the song that she played.
And I think that is pretty accurate as to Elton's actual talents. Because one thing I won't say anything bad about this movie, but some of the criticisms was like, since Elton had a big hand in it, some things were kind of seen through his lens.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well,
but
fair
this
enough.
This is completely true. He was that talented at music.
Cool.
So he gets a little gig playing at a local pub, and we get the really cool thing with him singing Saturday Night's All Right.
Oh, yeah.
Great song.
Yeah.
So it kind of cuts midway to him as an adult. Enter adult Reggie. Taron Egerton, my man. He is so handsome. I fell in love, I mean, at first sight. But the part in the song where someone goes, "Fight!" And he goes, "Help!" Oh, my God. It's so good. I love him so much.
It's so funny you say that. So this is like a coming of age scene, right? So he goes from child to preteen. Oh, I guess when he's like playing the gigs for the first time, he like learns how to style his hair like Elvis. And he's probably like supposed to be 12 or 13, but he's such a little rock and roll stud.
He's really falling in love with the rock and roll music.
Yeah. And then he turns into, adult Reggie, who you think he's like, yummy,
oh, he's like my number one. I don't know what that says about me, that like I'm obsessed with him in this role where he's playing like a very flamboyant gay man.
Yeah.
I don't know what that says about me, but.
Yeah, no, I can see it. Like there's certain scenes for sure where he's got a sex appeal, for a straight woman.
Yeah,
I can see it. And other times he's just like straight up flaming gay. And that's beautiful too.
There's a scene in that song, within the dance number, it kind of like breaks it into like a kind of a Bollywood dance.
Yes.
And it's cool, but it kind of comes out in a weird way. It happens right as Elton's kind of eyeing up a man for the first time. And I wonder, I would like to know if that has any significance. Like maybe it's a nod to like Elton John's first crush or something. Maybe it was an Indian man.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just something that I noticed.
Interesting. I wish I knew more about Bollywood. We should watch a Bollywood movie.
Oh, we should
movie.
Do a Bollywood movie. We have for to. Sure, for okay. sure.
Not just one. We'll probably do a few.
A series.
Yeah. Yeah, I also love that Bollywood breakdown. Like, these Indian women are beautiful, and the dancing is so good. Saturday night. Yeah.
So Reggie and his band start playing backup for the American Soul Tour, which I did try to research this a little bit, and the actual tour did happen, but the band, the female band that was playing, I believe was Patti LaBelle's band, but in the movie, the lead singer's billed as Diana. So I think it's supposed to be Diana Ross in the Supremes.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Yeah,
I don't know.
When he's on stage with the American Soul Tour, there's these, like, I guess they're all backup dancers or, like, they're playing the sax or whatever, but this is, like, another first glimpse of a flirtation between him and, like, one of the front men where he's making bedroom eyes.
And they make out a little bit.
Yeah, too. They make out in the back.
Anyway, so Reggie wants to make it in the big leagues and changes his name to Elton John. Though it is not, as the movie suggests, taken from John Lennon.
Oh, no?
No,
oh.
That is not. That is false.
Big made up.
Yeah.
Lie.
I don't think there's much of a story to... I think it was kind of just he came up with it as a stage name. So Elton is put in touch with Bernie Taupin. Bernie is the lyricist and has worked with Elton for like up until now. They've worked together for like 50 years.
That's wild. I had no idea Elton, there was anybody else. Had a partner. Yeah.
Yeah. So Bernie writes the lyrics and Elton puts music to them. They become fast friends. And Elton and his budding homosexuality really connects to Bernie.
Yeah.
But this relationship is truly something spectacular. And the two in real life are really, really close. They're brothers.
Yeah.
It's great.
I love Bernie so much. Like, I'm willing, dare I say, even more than Elton John. Wow. Like, in this movie, first of all, he's so supportive.
Yeah.
Like, just unconditional love for Elton and, like, just lifts him up all the time. And he's, like, physically beautiful in the movie and then also, like, in real life.
Yeah.
Just so handsome and then obviously, like, writes all the lyrics, which is a huge piece of it.
Crazy. Next, some of the song Border Song is played. It's they say that it's the first one that they worked on together, but the chronology?
The timeline?
So the timeline of all of the songs being released are completely different from how they were in real life.
Yeah.
They obviously change the songs based on the plot of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I really just need to stop because this song is one of my favorites. It, first of all, picture this. It is mid-March 2020.
Oof. That was a rough time.
My restaurant that I was working at just shut down. I naively thought that I was just given 2 weeks off, which turned into about 4 months. And I wanted to do something fun and productive.
Yeah.
And I have this kind of weird skill that I'm able to, like, teach myself things. Mm-hmm. Like, I taught myself how to knit, how to sew, how to edit and create a podcast.
Yes, you're very good at a lot of things.
Self-taught.
Yeah, you can pick it up.
So I borrowed my mom's piano and took it to my house.
Aww.
And this was my goal. My dumb ass thought that I could learn to play 2 Elton John songs, one per week.
Naturally.
And it turns out Elton John's really good at piano. His songs are quite advanced. So I didn't do that. I managed to learn the first little bit of Border Song, but it's really hard.
Oh, okay.
I did learn like a couple little like songs from Zelda.
Oh, cute.
And the little piano part from the song Satisfied from Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
Just that little part.
Oh, yeah. I'll never be satisfied.
So back to Border Song. This song was written in 1970.
Hmm.
And of course it is not about this, but the words of the song really struck me last summer when a lot of the Black Lives Matter marches were happening.
Hmm.
There's a lyric that says, there's a man over there. What's his color? I don't care. He's my brother. Let us live in peace.
Mm-hmm.
And let us strive to find a way to make all hatred cease.
Yeah.
Which I just love so much. But somehow since 1970, we've not learned either of those things.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
No, it's so sad. Like, those lyrics will be true
forever.
Mm.
Probably.
Yeah.
The human race is awful.
Yeah.
Back to the plot.
Okay.
A little sidebar. Bernie and Elton continue to work on their music. The one that really stands out to the producers is, of course, Your Song.
Oh.
That song just gives me chills. It's, like, just amazing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I had major goosebumps during this scene, your song. And it's so sweet. Like, he and Bernie move back into his mom's house. So Elton's, like, moved back in with his mom and his stepdad, I guess. And this is, I'm sure, not how it went down, but in this scene, he's, like, in his underwear and this short little house coat and sits down at the piano in his, like, childhood living room and writes the song. And Bernie's upstairs, like, listening, and they're all just
realizing. They make eyes on each other. Yeah. It's so great.
The whole movie could have been this scene, and I would have watched it for an hour and a half.
Yeah. So from here, they're basically thrust into fame.
Yeah, big time.
They head to L.A. to play the famous Troubadour Theater. So we see Elton's love for flashy costumes come up. A man after my own heart. And at the Troubadour, he meets John Reed, who later becomes his manager and lover.
Yeah. A couple new characters here. John Reed. Ugh. Don't love him, but we'll get into that later. And the club manager, who is played by the same actor who plays Jimmy Cooper in The O.C.
And Joshua in Friends.
Oh my God, Joshua! Yeah. Yeah.
Your boyfriend, Josh? Joshua!
Yeah, so funny.
We get a few songs kind of... really, like, back to back here. Another one of my favorite songs is Amarina. It's not as less, like, he doesn't perform it in the movie. It's just kind of played. We will listen to it later. Okay. It's a very, like, sensual song that I really, really love. And then you get Crocodile Rock, just so great. And I love when a movie goes from, like, quote, real life to a sort of, like, whimsical. As he's performing this, the crowd, like, kind of levitates a little bit, like, as he's, just to kind of signify that this is, like, a turn in his career kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, I wondered about that, because at one point, he, like, levitates off the stage playing Crocodile Rock. I also had goosebumps or chills during this scene. So flipping fun. Like, I just wanted to be in that club.
I know.
Like, in that time frame, whatever decade it was.
The 70s
in LA. Like, this was a good
place to be. So many drugs.
So many drugs. Just so many good outfits. So much good music and, like, love and warmth in the air.
Yeah.
Sidebar. You probably remember this, or maybe you don't, but I had a keyboard as a kid, and it had, like, a bunch of songs, like, that you could just play on it, and Crocodile Rock was one of them.
Oh my God!
Yeah!
Oh, amazing. I want that. Next, we hear one of Elton John's most famous songs, Tiny Dancer.
Oh, yes.
It's a great one. That did not disappoint.
Such a beautiful song.
So they're at a party at some notable person's house, and it's just, like you said, like, it's a real 70s party.
Yeah, some after party after their, I guess, their first show.
Yeah.
I just want to be there. It's, like, all dim lit and, like, indoor-outdoor vibe. It with, like, teepees in the background and twinkle lights and those, like, Shambhala flags or whatever they're called. And then Bernie gets late.
And Elton's a little sad about this, but
Elton
hooks up with Johnny Reed, who is played by the incredible Richard Madden. Mm. He's best known as Robb Stark from Game of Thrones.
Oh.
And this is a funny little connection that maybe only I can appreciate, but Rocketman is compared a lot to Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh.
They came out at the same time. They're both musical biopics. But I hated Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, you did?
Hated it. I just felt Rocketman was so much better. Mm-hmm. But John Reed is in Bohemian Rhapsody also because he represented both Elton John and Queen
in real life.
Yeah. So
interesting.
In Bohemian Rhapsody, he's played by Aidan Gillen, who is also in Game of Thrones as Littlefinger, who is one of my favorite characters, but he's universally hated by everyone. I'm the only one that likes this character. So just a little nerd fact for you.
That's like a ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. Anyway, so Elton and Johnny Reed get pretty close, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do.
And I saw this movie in theaters with my mother.
Yes, perfect.
And there's
good.
A pretty steamy scene that I had to pretend to look away, pretend that I didn't want to actually see this. I had to feign modesty, clutch my pearls. I mean, sex scenes beside your parents is just not a good time. Straight up not a good time.
No. But this was such a good sex scene. Like, it was very real and authentic, and it showed just enough
To keep it spicy.
To keep it spicy, but not, like, again, I watched this with Mitch, and, like, normally a sex scene is, like, that's one thing, but then you watch a gay sex scene right. with your straight husband, who's, like, he's accepting and open, but also, like, doesn't yeah. see a lot of gay sex, so I found it was, like, just the right pace that yeah. it moved it along, but it was still very
watchable,
personal, watchable, intimate. Yeah, all of those things.
So together, Elton and Johnny Reed become that couple. Mm-hmm. They are bougie, flashy, famous, rich. Yeah. Johnny takes on Elton as his personal manager. He's the business bitch.
Yeah.
Makes them lots of money.
This is kind of where I started hating Johnny Reed. He's like, it's like the instant that Elton fired his original producers, Johnny becomes like super pushy and mean. And Elton is obviously just there like to do the music.
Yeah. And he's a true artist.
True artist. And has feelings for Johnny. And Johnny, it's almost like, you know, has now got what he wants.
Yeah.
He's dollar signs in his eyes. And anyway, Johnny, let's talk.
So Johnny tells Elton that he has to inform his parents about his relationships and his sexual preferences.
Right.
And mostly just to tell them to keep it out of the tabloids. So he goes to visit his father and his new family, which includes his two half-brothers, and it Ugh. Just goes poorly.
Yeah.
His dad's, like, not even impressed, not proud of his success.
No, such at all. An ass. Like, probably is deep down beaming with pride, but doesn't know how to express it.
He's beaming with pride, but he's, like, proud whenever he, like, talks to his friends about it.
Yes.
Because he's, like,
can't tell his son he loves him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just gross. Like, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
And fuck the mom, too, honestly. He calls her to come out to her, and she says just some awful things to him.
Yeah.
Including that he has chosen to be alone forever and that he will never be loved properly. Ugh, fuck you.
Loadable. Yeah. I thought it was going to go well at first because she's like, oh.
She was like, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah. Or yeah, I knew that.
He says like, I'm a homosexual. And she goes, I've known that since you were blah, blah. Like since you were a child.
No, for years.
No, it goes bad.
Yeah. She's a dick about it.
I hope any parents out there that does not accept their child for who they are, I hope you get a million paper cuts and step on Legos every day.
Yeah, learn your lesson.
Elton, though rich and famous, still has his demons, including becoming a raging alcoholic and a drug addict.
Yeah.
The party lifestyle is really catching up to him, and his emotions are becoming a little hard to control, causing a lot of friction with those around him, including Bernie.
Yeah. It's like so clear that the moment he has those conversations with his parents and that Johnny takes over his management,
he's lost control of his life, essentially.
Yeah. And he's not able to be himself. It's sad.
Yeah. Next song is quite good. It's Pinball Wizard, which was not originally an Elton John song, but he did a cover of it for a movie.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. We were trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
Like The Who or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we get a montage. We love a montage.
Montage.
It's kind of meant to be, in a way, like them showing like how many tours he's doing, how many shows he's doing.
Yes.
It's like, it's, and
all
then
his looks.
Yeah, all of his looks, which are so good. Some of them are just so good. They are spot on.
Some of them are so bad.
Yeah. But so bad. I mean, or just subjective. Like,
yeah.
But we will definitely talk about the costumes later.
Oh, yes.
Things are not good, though. Johnny is, like we said, revealing his true colors. He truly doesn't care for Elton at all. And Elton's addictions are, and his mental illness is catching up to him. And trigger warning, he overdoses on prescription pills and attempts suicide.
Oh, yeah.
Here we have the titular song, Rocket Man. And it's just so well done.
Yeah. Brilliant. And it's such a powerful display of misery and depression. Here we have like Elton John at his mansion's mm-hmm. glamorous party where he's living what we all envy and want, like beautiful home, beautiful people, but he's just rich. So rich, and he's so depressed. And yeah, that's where he or the scene anyway, he attempts suicide. Did it go down like that?
I think that's fairly accurate.
Wow.
As to how it actually happened.
That's wild.
So it's shown him being revived only to be ushered onto stage to play Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen quite like that, obviously, in real life, but the amount of time from his overdose to playing a show was really short.
Oh, wow. Like, it probably felt like that for him.
Exactly. The scene shows him almost on like an assembly line. It's kind of like a pit crew getting him together from overdose to the stadium performance.
Yeah.
It takes place in kind of an aircraft hangar to show that he's just a piece in the machine.
Yeah.
It's so good. And there's a moment that only lasts a second, but my God, Karen's performance in this is just, and the whole movie is just so good. I use the word brilliant a lot to describe him, but he just is. Mm-hmm. My mind just cannot describe it any other way. So there's a scene where he's like being handled and he's like almost on the verge of passing out. He is given his hat and a baseball bat because he's playing Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
And as soon as like the bat is put in his hand, his face lights up and it's like showtime.
Yeah.
It's like masterful. It's just to go from like 0 to 60 is just, it was so good.
Yeah, you're so right. Like, it communicates what he must have been going through so clearly. Yeah. Like, do a line of coke, get the hat on, smile, and get out there. Yeah. And like, that's so sad, but I'm sure so many performers
mm-hmm.
go through that.
There's something else.
I do just need to say, I know we'll talk about it again, but this baseball outfit, oh my favorite. God, it's like a sequin Dodgers uniform.
Yeah. It's like a onesie.
It's so,
like a romper.
So good. He looks so good. And like, so not good. Like Elton John's like body is not anything that people would like gush about.
Right.
But he's just like so perfectly fit and like comfortable in his own body. Anyway, the baseball outfit looks
so good.
Really good. And it's so sparkly.
Yeah. So we go from a real high to Bernie telling Elton that he needs to take a break from the spotlight.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to go back to the good old days and where there was just the two of them just writing. Fame and the partying is really just too much for him.
Yeah, it's so sad. He's like, let's go home, Elton. Let's go home. Elton's not having any of that.
He's not having it. Without Bernie, Elton is truly spiraling, letting his addictions take the driver's seat.
Yeah.
This is the only criticism I have of this movie, but it feels like he hits rock bottom a few times.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of just like a series of hitting rock bottom. And it was like that, and like, maybe it did feel like that.
Yeah.
Elton eventually meets a woman named Renata and marries her for a brief amount of time because Elton has identified as bisexual, though he has a preference for men.
Oh, okay.
So he was married to a woman for a brief period of time.
Hmm.
Obviously does not work out with Renata.
No.
And Elton continues to hit rock bottom as he is no longer tethered to either Johnny or Bernie.
Is Johnny still his manager at this point?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
More terrible interactions with his monster of a mother. So we're at rock bottom again after a not so great interaction with Bernie. I mean, he's been through a lot, so I definitely understand. And if Elton chose to put this many moments like this in the movie, it must have been like that in real life. He must have felt like he was at rock bottom a few times.
Yeah. Yeah.
This time in particular, Elton has a heart episode, and John Reed just doesn't care at all. He is sold out Madison Square Garden, and he wants to book him for 5 more nights in a row.
Oh, yeah.
So Elton's getting ready for this show, and he's dressed up in the outfit that he was walking down the hallway in from the beginning of the movie. It's full circle, baby.
Full circle.
And yeah. In this scene, he starts, him and Bernie from the scene before are singing Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. He grabs a cab and he bursts through that hallway into the rehab, like we saw in the beginning. And I love this because he's like literally dripping in sequins and rhinestones. Like as he's coming down the hallway, they're just falling off of him because yeah. He's just so rich. So Elton's making great progress in his rehab facility.
Right.
You see, yeah. He's kind of coming to terms with a lot of his demons. And Bernie comes to see him. And he gives him the words to I'm Still Standing. And with his new outlook on life, he just dances right the heck out of there.
Bernie is such a gem.
Yeah.
In this scene, in the rehab scene, so sweet. They're just sitting on a bench and Bernie comes to visit him and gives him some advice. And the quote, remember who you are and be okay with it. I just friggin' love. And finally, like, Elton's healing. You know, it's like he can finally give himself a hug. And I do think that's what therapy and recovery is all about.
Yeah.
Like, allowing you to love yourself again. So I was really heartened during this period of the movie.
So the last song is I'm Still Standing. And it's super cool. They take the original Elton John video and just like superimpose Taryn into it.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Like cool. That video is like, it is the video, but they just have Taryn Elton.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah. Some people kind of found it on the internet and they're like, whoa, like these people did such a good like job recreating this video. And people are like, that's the same video, idiot. Like you can't get every little scene perfect. There's like 50 people in the video. But it's so rad. I love it. So this is the end or just the beginning for Elton, because it's certainly not the end of Elton John. But from here on out, he remains sober.
Yeah.
And at the end of the film, they have some really great moments and little updates about what Elton's been up to with his family, his husband David, and all of his philanthropic endeavors.
Yeah.
And it shows some really great side-by-sides of the Rocketman costumes with real photos of Elton.
I loved
seeing that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing, the story. How long he's been sober, his story, how quickly he shot to fame.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like an unusual story, but it's really beautiful.
Yeah.
And oh my God, is there a better like pop artist of the time?
No. Especially not one who like is also an amazing person.
Yeah.
Like obviously if you think pop stars, you also think of like Madonna or Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
But, or you know what?
Or Elvis.
Elvis.
Presley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Elton John's right out there. And I love how it says, like, a week after he got out of rehab, he just sat at his kitchen table and, like, started this foundation for HIV.
AIDS. Yeah. Yeah. In which he's raised millions of dollars. So let's get into some categories.
Okay.
And we got to talk about the costumes first.
Oh, we could just talk about the costumes.
All day. The costume designer for this movie, Julian Day. I love you. Give this man all the awards. He didn't receive any awards for this, which I find insane.
Well,
he did an incredible job.
Yes, I would say so. But like also, the true creator of the looks.
Right.
What, like, it wasn't him.
Right. It was Elton's style.
Yeah.
That's fair. He did, like, a really good job of capturing the iconic costumes of Elton, but modernizing in a way, putting a little bit of, like, his own spin on it.
Yeah.
And he actually did the costumes for Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh.
Just kind of funny.
Ding, ding, ding. That is funny.
I like that they even painted on Elton's gap in his teeth.
Oh, really?
Because obviously, Taryn, a gorgeous human that he is, has perfect teeth. And as someone with a tooth gap, I feel very seen.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in good company. Me and Elton are in the teeth gap club.
It's beautiful. It's
good company to be in.
Beautiful trait. Before we move on from the outfits, though, we have to, we are going to post on Instagram some of, like, our favorite looks from the movie. And, like, without a doubt, hands down, the Dodger Stadium baseball uniform is
Do you know that
so good.
1 year Harry Styles dressed up in that costume?
Oh, I need to see that, like, immediately. That would also be super good. Yeah.
So let's talk about the acting next. Okay. I just want to talk about Taryn Edgerton just all day, every day. I love it when someone really embodies, like, a real person. And I'm obsessed with the relationship that Taryn and Elton have. They're, like, buddies. And, aww, like, they just, like, love each other so much. And it just makes my heart burst.
That's so cute.
I love Taryn. He's just so good. And he won the Golden Globe for this.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah. Also nominated for a Grammy, I believe, for the song as well.
Nice.
And he does all of the singing in it. Like, it's all his singing. He spent, like, a long time training and, like, studying, and it's so good. He's just amazing. So good. The rest of the cast is all obviously amazing too. Jamie Bell, who plays Bernie, is fantastic. I've seen him in some stuff here and there, but the first time that I saw him, which you might not know, this was the first time that you saw him. Picture this. The year's 2005. Maria and I are attempting to be slightly edgy and emo.
Oh, God.
And Green Day releases the powerful, emotional, captivating song that stands the test of time 16 years later, Wake Me Up When September Ends.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you recall the music video for this, and music video is not even the right word, that cheapens it. This short cinematic masterpiece with the backdrop of a powerful rock ballad. It stars Jamie Bell and Evan Rachel Wood as a young couple torn apart by the war in Iraq.
Oh, my God.
Very powerful.
Very powerful. Yeah. And Bernie's there.
And Bernie's in it.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
He's Jamie Bell. He plays the guy in it. It's so good. Oh. I watched it recently and was like, oh.
What a good factoid. Mm-hmm. Nice. Nice.
He was also the Thing in Fantastic Four, but I won't hold that against him.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
You gotta do it, yeah. You need a paycheck.
Yeah.
So, a lot of other good characters in there. A lot of them are not exactly lovely people.
Yeah.
But their acting was amazing. Mm-hmm. Bryce Dallas Howard, as we mentioned, is so good. She plays a great, cold-hearted villain that you love to hate. And Richard Madden is obviously amazing. Really good at being a real piece of shit.
That's Johnny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, the music. Love when we can talk a lot about music from a movie.
Well, yeah. Again, like the outfits.
Talk about them all day. One of the best soundtracks of all time. I'm not kidding when I said I've listened to this probably over 100 times.
Yeah.
Just like playing video games or like cleaning the house, doing laundry, getting ready for work, driving to work. Especially last summer, I worked a job where I had to drive around the island a lot. You know, I belted out some Rocket Man.
But I can't wait to wrap this up and put it on and jam.
And this is why I love musicals so much, is because you have multiple ways of consuming the material. You can watch the movie, but then you get all those feelings back when you listen to the soundtrack.
Yeah, that's true. Especially now, having seen the movie.
Yeah.
It's like a little visual.
Yeah, a little bonus.
The music.
I have this group of friends that when we drink, it usually ends up with us just playing like music videos from the 90s and like singing as loud as we can. It usually ends with like us sitting on the floor, like in front of the TV, just like singing. And multiple times it's ended with us singing Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. It's just so good. And yeah, to talk about Taron again, he's so talented. He doesn't exactly sound like Elton, but he trained a lot to get the kind of like quirks and the, I don't know, like the little bits that how Elton sings, but he really like puts his own spin on it, and it's just so good. A goal in this, I would love to interview Taron about this movie someday.
Okay.
I think that would be amazing. I have so many questions for him.
Let's get to work.
Hey, Taron, check your DMs.
Besties. We're there. We'll buy you lunch.
Think of it as your charitable work for the year to help two poor girls. Okay. Do you have anything else to say about music?
Oh, just a lot of goosebumps or chills, like real serious chills throughout many scenes. And like Your Song, Rocket Man, Tiny Dancer, those are all songs that I would listen to on repeat, like especially driving.
Yeah.
And like even like back in the day where we had like burn CDs, like Your Song, Tiny Dancer were on there.
Yeah.
1,000,000%. Just loved. Loved it all.
Loved it all.
The music, loved the outfits.
It's just, it checks all of the boxes.
Yeah. I think this could also be my emotional support movie. I'll definitely watch it again. Like,
good. Yeah. Okay, good. So, wrapping up to our overall thoughts.
Yeah.
Like, what left is there to say? Like, favorite movie, full stop. I knew it the first time that I saw it. It checks all my boxes. Great music. Great costumes, great story, attractive cast. It's a 10 out of 10 for me.
Yeah?
10 rockets, 10 mans. I mean, I also technically have a Rocket Man tattoo. It's a little spaceman, a little...
Yeah. Is that the meaning behind
it? No, it's not entirely. It's, like, contributing. It's, I really just got it like for my love of like sci-fi and space, and
it's such a cute tattoo. Yeah.
And I too am not the man they think I am at home. Oh no, no, no. All right, your overall thoughts.
That's beautiful. So overall thoughts for me, I'm obsessed with Elton John, more so now than I ever was. And I really, really liked the story. You know, any good story with like a authentic portrayal of depression, anxiety, that like
addiction.
I think they did it really well in a really like honest and tasteful way. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know really the struggle. Like I did know that Elton was like a recovering addict, but
yeah,
had no idea like how quickly he shot to fame, how young he was when it happened, how much like of a musical prodigy he was. So the movie I really emotionally connected with, and then visually, like you said, there's just so much eye candy and ear candy. It's so good.
It satisfies all the senses.
It does.
I could smell it. Yeah. I could
feel it.
Smell that alcohol and cocaine.
So I'm gonna give it like 9.5 Tiny Dancers out of 10.
Oh, perfect.
I loved it. The only reason it's not a 10 out of 10, I think, was it took me probably like 25 minutes to really warm up to it and then feel like totally captivated.
Especially when you start off with like him as a kid, I was kind of like, it was like my least favorite when he's a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know I was going to love it right away. It took me a bit. And then, but that's why I watched it with Mitch. And Mitch loved it as well.
Yeah. Yay.
And we both, like, a half hour, 40 minutes in, were like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
One of those movies where you want to give an applause at the end. Yeah, what a good show.
I know. I walked into the theater, like, changed. A changed human.
Yeah.
And I had seen this So it came out like spring 2019. So this was already when me and Elton were besties.
After the cohabitating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was in 2018 that I did that.
So good.
So good.
What are we going to do next? How do we go? Where do we go
from
here?
Where do we go from here? I feel like we got to do something real bad. Take it right down.
Okay.
Take it right down.
So we can't do Bollywood next. We can't like shame Bollywood right out of the gate.
I know what's going to come next.
Okay. What is it?
A movie that has caused me so much anger and rage. Next week, we're going to talk about Cruella.
Oh, have you seen it?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
And for legal purposes, this is a joke. We're going to pirate it because we're not spending money on it.
Okay. I'm here
for it. I'm putting my foot down.
I can't wait.
For legal purposes, that's a joke.
It's in theaters, so I was like 100% prepared to spend $20 plus popcorn on it. But that's fine. No money will be spent, but be sure to tune in.
And no dogs will be harmed in the filming of our podcast.
Yeah.
Ugh. Cruella.
Cruella DeVille.
Worst.
That's awesome. That's a wrap.
And that's a wrap.
Oh my god, we have to go get our makeup on and get to your party. Woo! To your birthday party. So, movie lovers, we love you.
Love you.
Thanks for listening. Later, lovers.
Later. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Hey!